Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by The Vacation Planners at MEI and Mouse Hand Travel. And if you want top-notch service and the best value for your vacation dollar, visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. Also brought to you by All-Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality in either a vacation home or condo. Hospitality has a new name, and it's All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
It's Ashley Martin from Dallas, Texas, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 165 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me is the enchanted Michelle Scribner-McLean.
I'm enchanted or I'm enchanting?
You're enchanted. Because of all the running you've been doing lately.
Okay. All right. Thank you, I think. How are you?
I'm enchanting, too.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's what I always say about you. Well, Michael, we have an announcement, and we have also a shout-out. So our announcement is the same one that we made on our last show, which is that the enchanting and enchanted Eddie McCoy and his evil sidekick, Eve Vanderpool, I don't know why I said that, Eve, but they will be having a meet on May 3rd of the day of the Expedition Everest Challenge. It's going to be 1 hour before the race starts, which is 9 p.m. The race starts at 10 p.m. and they'll be at the bag check. So look for them in Mickey Miles shirts, and they will say hello and take pictures and put them on our Facebook page. So that should be fun.
Yep. And now it's time for Michelle's shout out.
Is it going to echo when you say that?
Shout out.
So you're going to like this one because I know, number one, this is one of your favorite families, and number two, this is one of your favorite groups of kids. This is to Ethan Armas. And Ethan, whose dad is Alex Armas, who's a good friend of ours, he's on the Mickey Milers, and he does our questions for our question shows. Ethan ran I think he came in first for a 10K last weekend. So he's a fast guy. He's got his dad's running genes, and he, along with his brothers Zachary and Samuel, who are amazing athletes, so proud of them, and just lovely family, lovely kids. So, Ethan, this is for you, and good job. Can't wait to see you at the next Disney race.
Remind me never to play basketball with those kids because they're just – they're national champions, I believe, for back-to-back national champions,
I guess. They are. And yeah. Samuel is an expert in baseball stats, right?
Oh, yeah.
He gives you a run for his money.
Yeah. Samuel, if you're listening, we got to get together and we got to talk baseball because it's baseball season again, you know?
Yeah.
So good luck. Mm-hmm. Good luck, guys. Today we are talking about something that I believe that every runner goes through. It's a thought process. It's a dream. It's an objective. It's a goal. It's whatever you want to call it. Something very similar to when anyone begins their adventures in running. And you've all heard of the term couch potato to 5K. Well, then there are other steps that come along. And when we talk about other steps, we, like Michelle and I have used the term that we have used in conversation, we call it bridging. And when you bridge, you go from one distance to the next. And it's how you do it. It's what is a safe way of doing it. For instance, there are people who have gone from couch to marathon, couch to whatever. And along the way, you know, there were steps that they had to take to make sure that they weren't getting injured, that they were improving and building stamina. So what Michelle and I want to talk about this on this podcast is, if you were going to do so, if you wanted to build up your running repertoire, if you wanted to go from couch potato to whatever. How would you do it using the Run Disney races? And so Michelle and I are going to talk about that. And I know that Michelle has gone from virtually not being a runner to now she's running around the world, it seems, doing all kinds of races. And I know that when I first started – well, I started running a long, long time ago. But getting up to a half marathon was something that, you know, you think about. And so we're going to talk about that. So, Michelle, let's talk about the first part of it.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, Mike, is that you and I talk running a lot when we're not recording, which is probably one of the reasons that we started this show. And this is something we've talked about for a long time. Not only what are the things that bridge you from one distance to the next, but what things might be missing that we'd like to see in Disney races too, to help people make the leap from one distance, like a half marathon, to a marathon. So I think that everybody's going to do it their own way. And I think the perspective that we're taking in this podcast is, if we could design a running plan for somebody who's going from, I've never heard it called couch potato, but couch to 5K, they're on the couch and eventually they're going to do a marathon. How could they use the races to help sort of bridge or scaffold them to make that distance? And maybe how long it might take. Everybody's different. Everybody has different issues. Everybody's different goals. Everybody's different athletic abilities. But let's say for maybe the average runner, getting off the couch, how would they do it and use Disney races?
So what we're looking at, Michelle, is we're looking at a roadmap that we would lay out for people. So I think that the first thing we may want to talk about is, if you were getting off the couch and you were training for a 5K race, a Run Disney 5K race, which one do you think, Michelle, which one do you think would be a good Run Disney 5K race to shoot for? Would it be January? Would it be one of the others? What do you think would be something that you would recommend?
Well, what I wouldn't recommend is the Expedition Everest Challenge. That would not be the one that I would start with. And I would consider some other things. Number one, I would consider what the training is going to be in terms of weather and before you start the race. Also, crowds and things like that, I think, are important to think about. Now, we know that we have listeners who live in warm climates. I'm not one of them. I live in New Hampshire, so I'm gonna talk about somebody who lives maybe in, you know, the Midwest or the Northeast or somewhere where it has cold winters. So I'm going to say, I may surprise you with this one. I'm going to say Mickey's Jingle Jungle 5K in the Wine and Dine. And the reason is because it's Wine and Dine, so that's really fun. You have the whole summer. I would start the training in the summer to move up to November when that race is. And I think that, you know, the weather will be nice. It'll be getting cooler. And then you have that really nice race at the end. And it's Christmas themed, and it's kind of fun. What about you, Mike?
I think that's a really good choice. I was also going to say that Everest would not be on my list, and I also would not put the 5K that is run in January, because I think it's just too crowded. It's too overwhelming. The expo is too overwhelming. I think that I would lean towards what you have said about the Wine and Dine, the Jingle, I always get that one wrong.
Jingle Jungle.
There is also a 5K in the morning for the Tower of Terror, but I forget what that one is too. But I think that either one would be fine. I think that there aren't that many. I don't think the crowds are that big in October, November for the races as much as they are in January. And in Disneyland for Tinkerbell and for the half. And who knows for the superhero. So I think that would be a good start. But having said that, I also want to mention that, and we have talked about this in the question show, that it run a Disney 5K doesn't necessarily mean you're going to run it. You can run it, but you won't see that many people running it. So I think that because of that, and because it's not timed, there's not much pressure. But I really think it's a good way of understanding what a race is all about. If that was going to be your first 5K race.
I actually wouldn't do the one in the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror because that's the Happy Haunted 5K trail run.
And oh, that's right.
I wouldn't do a trail run. So I would either start with the one for Wine and Dine, or I would do, I think the Disneyland one actually, you know, it was 70 degrees when we did it. So that might be another one too. If you're out in California, you want to go to Disneyland. I think that's really, it's a tough time of the year because it's Labor Day weekend. So
yeah.
Okay. So now we're bridging. We've done some 5Ks.
And the next distance that is offered in Run Disney events is a 10K. Now there is, as we speak, you know, we still have a 10K that will be available in January at Walt Disney World. There is a 10K that was available, and hopefully it'll be available next year for our Princess Half Marathon Weekend. And Michelle, I don't recall if you could do – could you do just the 10K for the Disney Dumbo Double Dare?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yep.
So you have that. So you have three 10Ks that I am aware of that you can use for your next step. Is that correct?
Let's see. So we have I'm trying to run through. You said Princess. You said January. You said Dumbo Double Dare. And
I think that's it.
I think that's it, too. So let's see. I'm looking at Tinkerbell. Oh, Tinkerbell. Did you say Tinkerbell?
Tinkerbell has a 10K?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Tinkerbell has a 10K as well.
Wow.
Okay, so a 10K, for those of you playing along at home, is a 6.2 miles. So that's a nice bridge. So, Mike, which one would you choose?
You know, because of the where it is, I would suggest doing one of the 10Ks in Disneyland, whichever one works, because the 10K courses in Disneyland are much more enjoyable than the 10K courses in Walt Disney World. And by that, I mean that if you are running a 10K course in Disneyland, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to be running more so in the parks than you would in Orlando. And it won't seem the adrenaline, the endorphins, the adrenaline, everything will make the course so much easier for you. If you run in Orlando, you're running courses that are, for the most part, outside the parks, and it's not as magical. So I think that making the choice, making the jump from 5K to 10K is best done in Disneyland. Michelle?
I would agree with you. I think that would be the next one. I mean, I think we want a bridge. It's a good bridge to go from that 3.1 to 6.2. But another thing is it's really fun running the different coasts. And if you could run the 10K in Disneyland, I think that would be the next one. I think the weather's great. It's a really nice race. But Mike, what if you were going to do it in Disney World, if that were the choice that you had and you need to stay in Disney World?
If I needed to stay in Disney World, I think I would probably go with the Enchanted 10K during Princess Half Marathon Weekend. I just think that there would be less of a crowd, and there was less of a crowd than there was in January. And I think that as you go from distance to distance, one of the things that you don't want is the intimidation factor of crowds. And I think that that's why I said Disneyland, because I don't think it would be that crowded, and I think it would be much more enjoyable. But it's not to say that a 10K would not be enjoyable in Walt Disney World, but I think that you always want to do whatever can be looked upon as being something in your favor. And I think lowering the crowds and going in February during Princess Half Marathon Weekend, doing the Enchanted 10K would be what I would say would be the one that I would want to do.
Okie dokie.
Wow.
So now we're bridging. We're going from 6.2. And to me, there's only one natural thing that you would do next after that.
Well, you know, and Michelle, long ago in 2006, I ran it was the mini marathon weekend in Orlando, and it was a 5K on a Saturday and a 15K on a Sunday, and it was great. I thought the 15K, which is 9.3 miles, was great, and I wish they would bring it back somehow, but it's not there. So we need to make that leap, and we need to go from 6.2 miles to 13.1.
Oh, that's, no.
Oh,
there's,
no,
there's
you're
a
right.
bridge. There's a bridge.
That 10 mile at the top. That's right. So I have it written down here.
Yeah.
I was thinking too far ahead. The Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror, 10 mile, which is in October. It's 10 miles. So what you're doing is you're adding. So you went from 3.1. You added 3.1. Now you're adding 3.8 to your distance. So now you're running 10 miles. So this is a great bridge. And I'm really – and I remember talking with some of the Run Disney officials, and they said that this was to be a bridge for the 10K to the half marathoners.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, this was something to help them along the way with their training.
Huh.
Because for a lot of people who are at that point were looking at doing a Walt Disney World marathon weekend half marathon – by October, they should be able to run 10 miles in their training. So this is – not only is this a great bridge, but it's a great training vehicle for those who are training for the half marathon in January. So you're right, Michelle. So this is the great bridge.
And it's a really fun race too. I mean, really enjoyable with the theming of the Tower of Terror. It's a night race though, so that's something that's a little different that we haven't talked about yet. But it's just a great distance. It's really enjoyable. It can at times be hot. It's still warm at that time of the year. 2 years ago, it was really, really warm. This is, the beginning of October, but just a thoroughly enjoyable, fun race. It ends up in the studios and, it's just great. Really enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a great race.
So now, I would love to see them do more 10 milers. I really would. I think it would be fun.
Yeah,
to have a suite of 10 milers too. So now we're up to the next bridge, Mike, and I think that has to be the half marathon, right?
It has to be the half marathon. Right. And
we have so many choices.
We have choices in Disneyland. We have choices in Walt Disney World. We have daytime choices and we have nighttime choices. So I think that it really is one of those bridge jumps where you're adding another 3 miles. So what we've been doing is we've been adding between 3 and 4 miles to the races, which is really a safe adjustment for every race. So now it comes down to this is Michelle, where I think it comes down to the individual. Would the individual like to try this for a nighttime race, or would they like to try it for a daytime race? Would they like to do this in Walt Disney World, or would they like to do this in Disneyland? There are so many choices. I think that if I were to recommend a half marathon, if you are a morning person, I'm going to recommend the Tinkerbell half in Disneyland. I heard so many good things about it. I want to do that. We haven't done that, Michelle. We need to do that. I would like to recommend that as a potential candidate. I'd also like to still recommend the Princess Half Marathon as a potential first candidate, only because it doesn't seem – those two races just don't seem to have – I can feel the stress from all the participants in January, but I don't feel it when I've run those other races and those other parks. So I really am going to say a Disneyland half, the Tinkerbell, not the Disneyland half in September, but the Tinkerbell one, which is in January or February, whatever it is, and or the Princess half would be my recommendation.
And I'm going to disagree.
That's why I'm paying you the big bucks.
So I would say I've got two, but my first one, hands down, would be the January race weekend. The half marathon then. I just think it's just a whirlwind of excitement and the biggest expo. I just think it's really, really fun. That was my first one. I just really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it. A close second, and I would say probably my favorite half marathon is the Wine and Dine, although I'm not doing the Wine and Dine this year. Again, that's a night race, and I think that throws people for a loop sometimes, the nutrition. So for your first one, I would say the morning
right.
of the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend in January. Now, an unknown, of course, is the Avengers Half Marathon. That may be really cool, too. I'm sure it will be. I hope it will be. We'll be there. But, yeah, definitely. That big – it's like the big granddaddy of all race weekends. So.
Just so many people. I think that if it depends upon the individual. There are people who thrive in that kind of an environment, and I think that you're one, Michelle. And there are some that I'd say half of those would love it, and half of those would say, gee, I'd like to start off with another one. So I don't think there's a wrong answer there. And I had suspected that you were going to say wine and dine. So, well, we've gone from 3.1 to 6.2 to 10.0 to 13.1. And now we're no longer jumping 3 to 4 miles. We're jumping 13.1 miles. And this is where it gets really, really kind of complicated, because we're talking about a different, and I always call it a beast. It's a different beast. We go from half marathon to full marathon. That's a big jump. So, Michelle, I think you're the best person to answer these questions. Number one, when you first said to yourself, okay, I'm going to go from a half to a full, what were your thoughts? What were your issues? What were your concerns? And then when you completed that first marathon, and go back and think about those thoughts and concerns, were they accurate? Were they valid? I'd be real curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, it's interesting. It's kind of like an evolution. I think the first few half marathons, my thoughts were, oh my goodness, can I finish a half marathon? Oh my goodness, I just finished a half marathon. And I think at the beginning, that's all you're thinking. But you know, maybe after the fourth or fifth one, I started to think, to do another 13.1 after this, I don't know if I could ever do it. And then it turned into, maybe I could do it. And then it turned into, I really want to do it. So I knew for myself that if I did it, I would have to really think about training. Because not that I didn't think about it with the half, but I mostly just talked to a lot of people. I didn't really follow a program very strictly. That all changed when I moved to the marathon, because I think that for me, that distance, and I don't know if it's growing up in the Boston area, but that distance was just so much more than a half marathon. So I knew that I had to do it very carefully and very slowly. Now, Mike, one of the things that you've talked about, and, you know, again, we talk about running a lot offline, but one of the things that you've talked about for years that might be a bridge for you or other people who haven't run a marathon is for Disney to maybe offer a distance in between, like a 20-miler. I know there are some 20-mile races available up here. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think I guess I would call it a 30K maybe, or a 35K, which would be between 18 and 20 some odd miles. I think that would be great. I think that I would love to see. I mean, they've put together a weekend where you go 5, 10, half and full, but that jump between half and full is a tremendous leap, and I think that having something in between would be really good. And personally, if I were to, and I've never really had a desire to do a full, if I were to, if someone said, hey, there's a 30K, you know, I might be willing to try that and see what happens. I have heard and read and for a long time how that 18-mile point is a real key point in the training. And in a race too, it's when you hit that 18-mile mark, you can tell how well it's going to be for the last 8 miles, or how well you've trained. And I was going to ask you, Michelle, do you recall the first time you hit 18 miles? And at that point, you might have been able to say, you know, I can do this, or it's going to take a lot for me to do this.
I do remember it quite clearly, because I was on the Nashua River Rail Trail, and I think I was running with our buddy William Van Grohl, who is from the Virginia area. And I had the same milestone. Mike, you were helping me train for my first half marathon back in the day years ago, and I remember telling you I hit 10 miles, and you said you're ready. And I at 18, I started to feel like, okay, I'm finally ready. But honestly, it wasn't until I hit 21 that I knew I could do it. So we're talking about bridges here and Disney bridges. Could you think of a 20-mile race at Disney that could bridge people to a marathon? Where would it be? What would it be?
I think what would have to happen would be that they would probably need to think about adding a race to either the Princess weekend or the Wine and Dine weekend, and maybe do something there, or possibly doing something Tower Terra. But my guess is Wine and Dine and or the Princess Marathon, Princess Half Marathon weekends would be the places to go. I think that they could have a – I'm not sure if it would be a 20-miler, Michelle, but I think it would be somewhere between although that's – it sounds like – I think it would probably be an 18-miler, probably be a 30K, I guess it would be, which would be 18.6 miles. And I think that it would be something that would need some kind of a theme. It would be something that would need some kind of a hook. I don't know if that is in the plans, and I think that it would be immensely popular. It would be tremendously popular because I think that it would work towards helping a lot of people and motivate a lot of people to taking that next step. I know it would motivate me. It sure would. It would say, well, you know, they're offering that might be something that I could shoot for. And then it would motivate me to train for that kind of a race. And I think that in the long run, Run Disney would benefit from this. So I don't know if they would, I don't know if they could do it in January. I think that something would have to change in January, maybe take away the 10K and move the half to Friday and do the 13 and do the whatever it's called, whatever we'd call it, the 30K in Saturday. And then who knows, Michelle, maybe there's a new medal in there for doing four races. You know?
I know. You know what might be interesting would be to add another whole marathon weekend and just have an endurance run weekend. So to have a 30K and then to have a marathon, like another whole marathon weekend might be interesting. I don't know where they would put it. But it sounds to me, Mike, like we're going to have a show and have people help us design an 18 to 20 mile run and the theming that goes around it, because we know it's going to have theming. But so I think that would definitely be able to scaffold people up into the marathon if they did that.
Now, having said all that, Michelle, I think there's also I want to throw a cautious step out there. There have been many people who I have seen and heard they would cross the finish line after doing their first 5K at Disney, and they would say, next year I'm doing the half marathon. Some of them end up doing it and some of them don't. A lot of things happen when you cross that finish line, and you get inspired, you get motivated. Sometimes it's so thrilling that you say, I can do this or whatever. And then there are times when, you know, I know I've crossed the finish line on a half, and it's like, you know, I'm not going to do this again. And then in a week, it's like, I want to do it again. So it's kind of funny. But all I'm saying is that I think everybody needs to be realistic. And that's what this show is all about, being realistic in your progression of your races.
I think that people look to Run Disney to help kind of move them from one race to the next. You finish the 5K, you're looking at the 10K. You finish the 10K, what's going to be the next cool half and the cool medal that I get? So I think it would be really fun. And I love, you know, I want to start thinking about what that might be. And let's design it. Maybe that's the Star Wars thing, the Star Wars 20 miler, Star Wars 30K.
So, Michelle, I just came up with a great next thing for Run Disney. So on a January weekend, what they'll do is they'll take away the 10K, and the runners could do a 5K, a 5K, a half marathon, a 30K, and a full marathon. That's a total of 60 miles. You call it 60 with Mickey.
Oh, my gosh. Well, have fun with that. Enjoy.
Can you imagine? I bet that would be it. So 60 miles in 4 days. That's a lot.
Yeah, I know some of our friends would do that. I don't know that I would do that. And it would only cost $1,000.
Oh, my God. I think if they offered that, I think I would shoot for that 30K. I think I would.
Yeah. You know? All right. Well, Mike, I know that you say you're not interested in the marathon, but I know you signed up a year or two and you were injured. So it's my fondest wish that I can run your first marathon with you. So So I'm hoping that whatever it takes, whether it's a bridge or whatever it is, that we get a chance to do that.
Well, Michelle, you never know. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I hope we can do it. So let's plan on having another show where we design one of these bridge races from the half to the full.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Michelle. And thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Mike Scopa for Michelle Scribner-McLean saying, bridge that gap. We'll see you on the bridge. I mean, we'll see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. If you are looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next Walt Disney World vacation, then you need to visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, nobody can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.